So today we are reading 10, 7, 27, right? Is that correct? Yeah, 10, 7, 27. So this is the continuation of the chapter of killing of the Trinavarta demon. So important chapter. And in this chapter, there are three main sections of the chapter. The main one is the story of the killing of this demon. So we will read text 27 up until text 30 today. Tam ashmanam manyamana Atmano guru mataya Vale grihita ustrashtum Nashaknod adbutar bhakam Tamashmanam manyamana Atmano guru mataya Gale grihita ustrashtum Nashaknod adbhutar bhakam. Okay, we will continue on. Synonyms. Okay, we'll do English. Tam Krishna. Ashmanam. Very heavy stone. Like a lump of iron. Manyamanaha. Thinking like that. Atmana guru mataya. Being heavier than he could personally perceive. Gale, his neck. Grihite, being embraced or encircled by his arms. Utsrashtum, to give up. Na ashaknot, was not able. Adbhutar bhakam, this wonderful child who was different from an ordinary child. Translation. Because of Krishna's weight, Trinavarta considered him to be like a great mountain or a hunk of iron. But because Krishna had caught the demon's neck, the demon was unable to throw him off. He therefore thought of the child as wonderful, since he could neither bear the child nor cast aside the burden. Purport. Trinavarta intended to take Krishna up in the sky and kill him. But Krishna enjoyed the pastime of riding on Trinavarta's body and traveling for a while in the sky. Thus, Trinavarta's attempt to kill Krishna failed. While Krishna, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha, enjoyed this pastime. Now, since Trinavarta was falling because of Krishna's heaviness, he wanted to save himself by throwing Krishna off from his neck, but was unable to do so because Krishna held him very tightly. Consequently, this would be the last time for Trinavarta's yogic power. Now he was going to die by the arrangement of Krishna. So I will read just the next couple of texts. Galagrahana nishtheshto daityo nirgatalochana avyakta ravo anyapatat sahabalo vyasur vraje. With Krishna, translation, with Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked, unable to make even a sound or even to move his hands and legs. His eyes popping out, the demon lost his life and fell, along with the little boy, down to the ground of Raja. 29. Tam antarikshat patitam shilayam vishirnya sarvavayam karalam Puram yata rudra sharena vidham striyo rudyato dadrushu sameta. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky onto a big slab of stone, his limbs dislocated, as if he had been pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva, like Tripura Asura. In transcendental life, as soon as devotees of the Lord merge in lamentation, they immediately experience the Lord's transcendental activities and merge into transcendental bliss. Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. Text 30.
Pradaya matre pratihitya vishmita krishnam chatartasyorasi lambhamanam tam swasti mantam purushadanitam vihasamityu mukad pramuktam gopyascha gopa kilananda mukhya labdha punar prapyurati vamodam.
The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him free from all inauspiciousness to Mother Yashoda. Because the child, although taken into the sky by the demon, was unhurt, now free from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaja were extremely happy. Purport. The demon fell flat from the sky and Krishna was playing on his chest very happily, uninjured and free from misfortune. Not at all disturbed because of being taken high in the sky by the demon, Krishna was playing and enjoying. This is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. In any condition, Krishna is Sachid Ananda Vigraha. He has no unhappiness. Others might have thought that he was in difficulty, but because the demon's chest was sufficiently broad to play on, the baby was happy in all respects. It was most astonishing that although the demon went so high in the sky, the child did not fall down. Therefore, the child had been saved virtually from the mouth of death. Now that he was saved, all the inhabitants of Raja were happy. So this is a very nice pastime, very enlivening, and not also conceivable to with the material intelligence, how that it can be possible. So in this chapter, there are three main parts. So this is the second part of the chapter. Srila Prabhupada describes nicely the chapter summary. So first he explains about when Krishna... the first one is the... He's explaining how Krishna is basically destroying the cart, the... It's called in the beginning, let's see. That's called the Shakata Banjana. So the breaking of the cart pastime is the first part which is described. And then the second part which is described is when Lord Krishna was put down by Mother Yashoda, and then the Trinavarta demon, which is, Trina means grass. Everybody knows, like Trinadapi Sunichena, lower than the blade of grass. And Varta means weller. So Trinavarta means grass-welling demon. So actually, Varta, we have this word in Europe. I don't know if you have in Slovenian, like invert, extrovert, you have a word like this? How do you say?
The
same word. So this is a ancient European root, vert, like in Latin. So vert means to turn in Latin, and vart is the same word in Sanskrit, because Latin obviously coming from Sanskrit. So Trinavarta means grass-weller. So you have different types of vart in Sanskrit also. So this is the Trinavarta demon. So he is actually bringing Krishna up into the sky and he wants to kill Krishna. But Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, although he looks like a baby, he's thinking, I can lift up, it's just a small baby, I'll lift him up in the whirlwind, great hurricane, and that way I can kill him. And then if he drops, he will smash on the ground. That was his idea. Because Kamsa was trying many, many ways to kill him from a young age. First, he tried to kill all the babies which were appearing in the Mathura Mandal at that time. So unfortunately, he couldn't kill them. He couldn't kill Krishna. He was trying to find all the babies and kill them. Still didn't work. So then he was thinking, okay, now I still have to kill him somehow. So he keeps sending many, many demons. He sent Putana, when Krishna was a baby, to take the poisoned milk from the breast. And now Prabhupada says three months old, now he's coming as Trinavarta to try and kill him in this way. But as we know, Krishna, actually he is not just a material body, he is not a, as Krishna himself, he states that janma karma chame divyam, that my birth and activities, they're transcendental. So those who are envious, they think that Krishna's material body and Krishna is a material existence. But actually, Krishna is God. Therefore, he can do whatever he wants. So therefore, although he was carried by this demon, Krishna held on to the back of this demon and he was increasing his weight so exponentially that the demon could no longer hold the weight of this small baby, 3 months old baby. So there is one baby, he was here. The father is gone. I don't know how old the baby was. But a 3 month old baby is extremely small. So it's extremely light. But at the same time, because it's God, he can choose any weight he wants. So he became, you know, lead. Lead is considered one of the most heavy things in terms of mass. It's the most heavy, one of them. So even rocks are very heavy. So Krishna was millions times more heavy even than the rocks. So therefore, immediately the Trinavarta demon, he came and smashed on the ground. But Krishna was unharmed. So that's what we're hearing here. He says actually, Ashmanam. Ashmanam means heavy like a stone, like a lump of iron. So very, very heavy. And Krishna was on his neck. So the demon was trying to take him off, like shake him off. But Krishna was so strong that he couldn't release Krishna from him. And he thought, wow, this is a very unique, very wonderful child, because a normal child cannot do this. So the word which is used here in the text is Adbhuta Arbakam. So Arbakam means a child. And Adbhuta is a very unique word. This Adbhuta word is also used earlier in this same chapter. Let's see where it is there. So earlier when Krishna, as a very young 3 month old baby, he was put under this cart and he smashed the cart. So then everyone was thinking that, whoa, how can a 3 year old baby smash such a heavy cart full of all of the market produce, very, very heavy cart. And a small baby with a small feet, the 3 year old baby's feet is like this, very small. But he smashed the whole cart. So then they said in that verse, Adbhuta Darshana, that this is a very Adbhuta vision. So what does Adbhuta mean? Adbhuta means wonderful. And literally Adbhuta means, Ad means not. It's a negation. You know, like you have A before the word. So Ad is the same type of prefix. And Bhuta means something which comes into existence. The word Bhu means something which comes into existence. So just like in the Gita, Krishna generally refers to us as Bhutas, not so much as Jiva. Why? Because we have to be very conscious that yes, we are the soul, but we are not acting on the platform of the soul unless we are pure liberated soul. So therefore, what is a more appropriate word to use? Bhuta. Bhuta means embodied soul. Why? Because Bhu means something which comes into being. So Bhuta cannot mean the soul, because the soul, as we heard in Bhagavad Gita, it has not come into being, it doesn't go out of being. Cannot be burned, cannot be destroyed, etc. So the Bhuta means the soul which is inside the body. Because Bhuta means the body. So the body which has soul inside, that's called Bhuta. So this Adbhuta is another use of the word. So Bhuta means anything which comes into existence. So in other words, Adbhuta means something which has never come into existence before. In other words, it's something which is unique, something which you've never seen before, something which is unimaginable in the world, something which cannot be created by material things, something which is transcendental. So therefore, in the first part of this chapter, Krishna is described as giving the Adbhuta Darshan, that how can a small 3 month old baby destroy a huge lump of wood and all of the products on top of the wood, the whole cart, and he didn't get hurt. So how is that possible? So this is the nature of Krishna, that he's Adbhuta. Just like in the Nrisimhadev prayers we say Adbhuta Shringam, right? So in the same way, Krishna, the word Adbhuta is used a lot. If you see also Mahabharata, then very important part of Mahabharata, because Bhagavad Gita is one of the scriptures which you take from Mahabharata. Another scripture is called Bhishma Stuti. That's the many, many chapters where Bhishma Dev is on the bed of arrows and he's teaching Yudhishthira Maharaj and whoever else was present there about Dharma. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he also asked to Bhishma, he said to him, that what is the best prayer to chant? So then Bhishma recommended that you chant the 1000 names of Vishnu. So this is also an important thing. Lord Chaitanya also was chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was studying and explaining this text. So in this text, one of the names given also is Adbhuta. So this is a very unique name of the Lord. So here he's saying that he's an Adbhuta Arbakam, because he's only a small baby at that time. So that's the nature of Krishna. That natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Krishna doesn't have anything, he doesn't do anything like in terms of karma. He doesn't have any material duty, and there is no material duty for him. And natascha sama abhyadi kascha drishyate. And nothing is equal to Krishna, nobody is equal to Krishna, and nobody is superior to Krishna. So this is a very important verse. Parashya shaktir vividaiva shuyate. And although he is the Shaktiman, he has many, many varieties of Shakti. Just like we are studying now the scriptures describing the spiritual pastimes. This is the 10th canto. So there we learn that in order to understand this, what you can call this Leela theology, then you have to understand the different Shaktis of the Lord, because the different Shaktis are those which are providing the pastimes of the Lord. Just like in Vrindavan, then you have the Yoga Maya, right? Purnamasi. So she is facilitating this. In you have another form of Yoga Maya, Subhadra. So it appears in different forms. So you have the different potencies, which are different Shaktis. So one of the Shakti is called the Samvit Shakti, which is, what do you call it? It's a parallel with the Chit potency. So that's called Samvit Shakti. And then you have Sandini Shakti. And then you have Haladini Shakti. So especially Radharani, she's the one who is increasing always the bliss. Haladini Shakti. So the Sandini Shakti is also very important. Because the Sandini Shakti is providing all of the different facilities and the different forms in order that Krishna can enjoy. Because if you think about it, if you're in the spiritual world, then if you're eating some prasadam, like some plants, luckily spiritual, they're not meat eaters. But still, even if you eat a plant, it seems like you can kill a plant, right, in the spiritual world, because you have to eat a plant. So how does that work? It seems like a contradiction, right? Because in this, we know that the soul, there is neither birth nor death, Krishna says in the Gita. But in the spiritual world, we are eating vegetarian things, so that means you're killing a plant to eat it. But the jiva cannot be killed, so can anyone say how does that work? Seems like contradiction. What do you think? Anyone can say? So this was something we were discussing. We were in Anvix. Where is Prabhu? He was in Anvix. He's not here now. So we were discussing this point. So that's because why? That is not regular jiva potency which you're eating. You're not eating the jivas. Because jiva is eternal. You cannot eat and kill them and they have to take a new body. Because spiritual world, everyone has swarup. So the gopis, they're not born and they don't die. They're eternally existing. Therefore, we hear Krishna also described Navayovana, ever fresh. So, all of the cowherd boys and girls, they're always young. They don't have birth and death in the spiritual world. But via the Sandini Shakti, by Krishna's potency, he creates all of these forms in order to enjoy, to increase the rasa. So, that's not a jiva, that's a Sandini Shakti. So, it's a different Shakti. The jiva Shakti is called Tatastha Shakti. So, that's another Shakti. So, Parashya Shakti. Vividaiva Shruyate, there are many, many types of Shakti. Swabhaviki, his own nature. Bala, which means the strength potency, the Sandini Shakti. Swabhaviki, Jnana. Jnana Shakti means Chit Shakti or Samvit Shakti. Swabhaviki, Jnana, Bala, Kriyacha. So there's different Shakti. Kriya Shakti means how Krishna is acting. So these are the different Shaktis which we need to study in order to understand this pastime. So by this Sandini Shakti, then we are seeing that Krishna is doing many, many adbhuta activities. Adbhuta means things which you cannot conceive because they're not created. They're not material creation. Then you've never seen them before. They never existed before. So that's the nature of Krishna. Normally in material world, it's impossible that a three-month-old baby can be heavy like a mountain. It's logically impossible, right? So therefore, that is considered to be adbhuta pastimes. So this is the importance of this text. Now let's see, continuing on. So when you see this text, first we learn that Krishna is, first line of 27, Krishna is Ashmanam. Ashmanam means very heavy. So now we understood a little bit, why is Krishna so heavy? Because he has the Adbhuta He's Adbhuta nature. He's completely unparalleled, astonishing, wonderful. All of these words you can use. Then it says, Atmano Guru Mataya. So Atmano Guru Mataya means he's heavier than what could be perceived by Trinavarta. Mataya means your conceivability. It means your mind. Mati means mind, opinion. It means viewpoint. And Guru, generally we think Guru just only means the, what do you call Guru, like the spiritual master. So that's called a connotative meaning in one sense. There's two types of meaning of Guru. The first type of meaning of Guru means heavy. And the, what is the antonym of that, the opposite of that, someone knows? Light in Sanskrit? Lagu. Guru and Lagu, right? Just like you have Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lagu Bhagavatam, like that. So Guru, one meaning is heavy, and then another meaning is that Guru is obviously means the spiritual master. So that has different meaning. Though there's one verse I'll share with you. So this is from the Upanishads. Guru Shabdas tu Andakara Syat, Ru Shabdas tan Nirodhaka. Andakara Niroditvat Guru Iti Abhidhyate. So this is why we say Guru also means spiritual master. The Gu syllable, it means the darkness. And the Ru syllable means the light. So one, the personality who takes you from darkness into light, that's called Guru. So in one sense, this also has two meanings. Why? Because he was heavier than he could personally perceive. So the thinking of the demon is very limited. Why? Because he's envious of Krishna. That's why he's a demon. Demon means one who envies the position of Krishna, right? So in that sense, to the extent we have material desire, to that extent we have some envy of Krishna. But another meaning you can take is that Atmano Guru Mataya means he didn't realize how much of a heavy lesson he will get from Krishna. Because Guru also means teacher, right? So he's giving a teaching. So he learned the lesson that Krishna is not material. And after becoming killed by Krishna, he actually got liberation. That's explained by Prabhupada. That although when you develop pure bhakti, then you go back to the spiritual world and you get your original form. But even if you're a demon, Krishna is so merciful that he will kill you. If you're a demon, you get killed by Krishna. It seems like punishment, right? But by being killed, you get liberated. So all of your sinful activity becomes purified. So even to become a demon in Krishna's lila, directly killed by Krishna, that's a great honor. So therefore, Krishna was actually teaching him that don't take me as ordinary child, I am God. So therefore, he smashed him, literally. And then, Gale Grihita Ushtrastum. So his neck was being captured very strongly by Krishna. If you think about a three-year-old baby, the hand is just like very small, like this. But he could hold on so tight, because he had transcendental hands. If you think about Trinavarta, like a whirlwind, or like a hurricane or a storm, they are so powerful that a hurricane can destroy a whole city. If you think there is a big truck, right, like a Mercedes Sprinter van, maybe it weighs 3 tons. Maybe it has a lot of load inside, maybe more. And you think about there are many houses, right? So when there is a hurricane, the hurricane can pick up a whole house, right? And throw it far away and destroy it completely. Hurricane can pick up a car, right? So imagine the hundreds of miles per hour and this very, very strong G-force of the hurricane, but at the same time, three-year-old baby cannot be moved, even slightly. No, it described Krishna didn't have even one scratch on him. So imagine what is the nature of Krishna's transcendental form, that many, many buildings, many cars, so many things can be taken away by these kind of situations. But a small baby, three-year-old baby, is not unaffected. So that's completely Adbhuta. Then, Nashagnod Adbhuta Arbakam. So this we already discussed, that it was not able to affect this very special child. So then we will see now. Next verse. With Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked, unable to make even a sound or move his hands and legs. His eyes popping out, the demon lost his life and fell along with the little boy to the ground of Raja. So imagine the power of Krishna, that how he can defeat such a very powerful demon, even though he's in a small, small body. Next verse. Tam antarikshat patitam shilayam. So actually it says from outer space. It says antariksha here, Prabhupada translates, from outer space. He had fallen all the way from outer space. So the Trinavarta demon took him very, very far away. So imagine how far. I'm not good in cosmology, maybe someone knows. But from outer space to hit the earth planet, Vraja, how many hundreds, hundreds of miles that is, far, far away. So all of that, he fell all the way down, smashed to the ground. But Krishna was not harmed. Hundreds of miles in the sky. And it says that all of his parts of his body were completely scattered everywhere. Because it was such a high height, such a strong speed, completely all of his body parts were smashed everywhere. Just like in, there's one pastime of Lord Shiva where he defeats the Tripurasura. So in the same way, just like that, he was destroyed, this Trinavarta demon. And he landed onto a big slab of stone. Then next verse. The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from inauspiciousness. Because the child, although taken into the sky by the demon, was unhurt and now free from all danger and misfortune. The gopis and the cowherd men were extremely happy. So Prabhupada is writing here in the purport that as soon as the devotees of the Lord merge into lamentation, they immediately experience the Lord's transcendental activities and merge into transcendental bliss. Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. So this is the nature of spiritual reality. He said, analogy is given that the nature of Krishna's pastime, Krishna's Leela, is even the lamentable aspects of the pastime. Just like Krishna has been taken away in the sky hundreds of miles into outer space by the Trinavarta demon, so many other demons attacking. So many, many times they were scared, the inhabitants of Raja. They were in extreme anxiety, extreme fear. But that type of fear is a type of bliss. So it's explained just like if you watch a horror movie. Anyone watch a horror movie? So when you watch a horror movie, generally it's very, very fearful, right? Like especially if it's a psychological one. There is some type of movies which are scary because there's some demon, some ghost or something. And there are some which it messes with your mind, psychological movie, right? So this kind of movie technically is fearful, right? It's scary. The word horror means scary, right? So in that sense, these movies, they are there to bring negative emotion, right? But at the same time, you know actually everything is safe because you're just watching a movie. So therefore, although you're experiencing fear, even though nothing's going to happen to you, you're enjoying the movie, even though it's painful to watch. Because you know ultimately this is just play, it's not real. But if you're in the same situation, you go into some forest at night, and then you hear all the wolves howling, and then the leaves are blowing. You get scared. Why? Because you maybe it's real, maybe I'll get attacked. So the same thing, that although in spiritual reality, you can watch something, just like when you watch a horror movie, the external, the exoteric emotion is fear, but the esoteric emotion is enjoyment. Because otherwise no one will watch a horror movie. The horror movies, they make millions, billions every year. So that means so many people are spending to watch them. Why? Because the esoteric feeling, they're actually enjoying. So in the same way, in the spiritual world, although externally they're crying, lamenting, so many things, inside they have another feeling, which is bliss. And that's the opposite of this world. In this world, whenever you have enjoyment, the external or the exoteric feeling is happy, smiling, but inside there's always anxiety. This is the nature. Spiritual world, you experience all the emotions, but the background emotion, just like a movie, you have a background music, right? So the background music, the background emotion is always bliss. Whereas in material world, although we experience different varieties of emotion, the background feeling is always anxiety. That's why this place is called the Kunta Loka, and spiritual is called Vaikuntha Loka. Vigata, Kunta, without anxiety. So this is a very important point, that sometimes people say that, oh, Krishna is causing them so much pain. Just like people criticize Krishna, they say, oh, Krishna ran away from the gopis and left them and caused them so much pain. They said, Lord Ram is better. Sometimes in India they say this. They say, Dwarkanath Krishna is better. He had wives, he married them officially, and he lived with them until he left. Whereas Krishna had Leela when he was a small boy, and then he left to Mathura, and their whole life they were just in anxiety, crying for Krishna. Because why? They don't understand. This is a transcendental emotion. So transcendental emotion, the background is always ecstasy. I had also experience of this in my own life, maybe many of you had, that if you have very senior devotee or guru, and they pass away, then the feeling, when they pass away, you become more intensely attached to them than before. And then you start, any small detail about their life becomes very interesting. Just like in England, we have one devotee, he's called Tribhuvanath Prabhu. So he was very, very close with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was very close with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj. So when Shivaram Maharaj was giving the memories at the disappearance festival, then he was crying. He was saying that this is all Vaishnavas there special, but Tribhuvanath Prabhu, and he was crying in ecstasy. So sometimes even the small details become very interesting. So many devotees, when they discuss, they say, oh, this Prabhu, he used to like to drink this brand of apple juice. But it's just apple juice, what's the big deal? But when you're in attachment to someone, when you have feeling of love, even the small details become important. And when you're in separation of them, you become even more attached to them. So in the same way, why did Krishna make them feel like this? To increase their attachment. And the more attached you are to Krishna, the more bliss you feel. Just like the closer you go to a fire, you become more and more hot. So similarly, the more you become attached to Krishna, Krishna is the supreme blissful. That's why Prabhupada twice in this section, he refers to Krishna as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. So that means the form of bliss and knowledge. So that's the nature of Krishna. So the closer you come to Krishna, the more you develop this nature of bliss. Because that's Krishna's form. He's made out of those ingredients. In this material world, the body is made out of the Pancha Mahabhuta, meaning the earth, water, fire, air, ether. But in the spiritual world, what it's called, what is the word? It's given by the Goswamis. I forget the name in Sanskrit now. But anyway, because we wonder that, okay, in the spiritual world there's also a body, but then what's it made out of? So that's called, it's made out of the condensed Brahman. So the spiritual energy becomes condensed and that becomes like matter, but spiritual version of matter. I forget, there is a technical name given. So the spiritual body which Krishna has is also like that. It's a condensed spiritual energy which comes into a form. So that form of Krishna, we also have a similar form. We are similar in the quality but different in the quantity, right? So therefore, the more we come closer to Krishna, the more and more we feel that ecstasy. So why is it that in this next text, the gopis are crying? Why? Because Krishna is augmenting their ecstasy for him. So sometimes people, they will criticize that, how is it possible that God, he can become such a powerful weight, like a mountain, although he's a 3-month-year-old baby. So sometimes atheists, they will criticize, they will say like this. This is called catch-22. Has anyone heard that word, catch-22? It means like a dilemma. So the catch-22, this word comes because there was an American author, he wrote a book. The book is called catch-22 actually. Something like 60 years ago, something. I mean, just after the war. So the war pilots, they used to fly the planes, right? But the problem when you fly a plane in the war, there's a very high chance you're going to die. So many, many pilots, they will say, we don't want to fly this plane because I'm mentally unwell. Oh, I'm crazy, like this. So then they will say, oh, no, I don't want to fly the plane. It's very dangerous. I'm crazy. So then they will say, if you know that it's dangerous to fly a plane and you're scared of that, that means you're healthy, so you should fly the plane. And then if you say, I'm not scared, I don't mind to go in the plane, then they say, okay, you also go on the plane. So they want to put everyone on these bomber planes. So either you pretend you're crazy, that you can't fly, then they'll say, oh, you know, you're clever enough to know it's dangerous to fly, So you must be still intelligent. So there's no way to escape, in other words. So that's what the book was about. So that's called Catch 22. So that's called a dilemma. So Krishna is in the same situation. Because the materialists will say, the atheists, they will say, that God, if he's a small three-year-old baby and he becomes the weight of a mountain, this book must be mythology. Can't be real. It's like, you think God is like this, he picks up with his small pinky a huge mountain, Govardhan, which is millions of tons of weight. It's miles and miles long. You think a small boy can pick up mountain? This book is obviously mythology. It's just stories. It's not true. So if Krishna does anything adbhuta, then the atheists will say, this is not true. This is just a made-up fantasy stories. And then if Krishna says, okay, I won't act too adbhuta because then people will not accept me. Then he says, I will just act like a human being, just a regular person. So then when Krishna acts like a regular person, they will say, why are you saying Krishna is God? He's just a normal guy like you and me. But the problem is, if Krishna does anything godly, then they will say it's mythology. And if you read that Krishna is just acting like a regular person, then they will say, oh, he's just a regular human, he's not God. So then Krishna is stuck, right? What can he do? So this is the nature of the atheist. They are very stubborn to accept God. But ultimately, the atheist is actually, Krishna explains in Gita, that tasya achalam shraddham, that this achalam shraddham, this achalam also means mountain, just like Krishna is heavy like a mountain. So he gives the atheist faith, which is heavy like a mountain, to actually not accept God. Tasya achalam shraddham, tam eva vidyadamyaham, I give this. And Krishna doesn't just say, I give, but he says, vidyadamyaham, that he especially gives them intelligence how to forget Krishna. Because that's the nature of love. Love means that if you want to forget me, I allow you to forget me. I don't force you to love me. Because if you can see Krishna as he is, he's so amazing that you'll automatically fall in love. But in order to give us independence, do we want to love him or not? Krishna also, with his yoga maya potency, is there in this lila, and mahamaya potency is there to help us forget Krishna. So Krishna says, if you want to remember me, that's possible. If you want to forget me, I will also help you. So that's how loving Krishna is. But at the same time, when we forget Krishna, actually we never forget Krishna, because even the atheist, deep down they know God exists. That's why when we preach, sometimes we don't have to even explain, like sometimes we make devotees, we don't have to really explain and have big debate with them. We just give them some taste of Krishna, and they say, yes, Krishna exists immediately. Sometimes you take a little bit of prasadam and you become devotee. Sometimes, just like some devotees, they took Prabhupada's book, they read one paragraph, they become convinced. Just one paragraph. Because deep down, we know that Krishna exists. So let's see the time. So there's 5 minutes left. And let's see, text 30, anything. I think we covered everything here. Yeah, we covered everything. So there's 5 minutes left if there's any question or comment or contribution. So tomorrow will be 31. So there's anything like to share? Any realization? Then if not, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So today we will go Harinam? Good. Which town? It's how long? 1 hour drive?
45 minutes, 50.
Oh, not bad. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.